Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
Horns up, metalheads, and welcome to the Metal Lunch Break, Episode 2. I'm your host, Aaron. With me today is retired Radioactive Metal host, Rock. Rock, how's it going, buddy?
Ooh, it's Halloween and I'm a revenant.
That's right, this episode's dropping on Halloween, so happy Halloween, metalheads. This is probably like the metalhead holiday, really, you know, other than 11-11. So, Rock.
You are my pride. I'm sorry.
Since you are retired now, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What did they give to the constipated retired metalhead in the retirement home?
Hey, whoa.
What?
I may be retired from Radioactive Metal. I'm not a retired metalhead.
Let's get
that straight.
Fair.
I still listen to my metal every day. So, hey, whoa.
Anyway, what did they give to him for constipation?
For constipation, a big dose of... shrapnel and I don't know.
No, Metal Mucil.
Oh my god.
I can't believe you didn't see that coming.
Uncle Aaron. Yeah. Yep.
Hey man, dad jokes galore here, buddy.
What the hell is going on this week? Here's the metal news.
All right, so the point of the metal lunch break, we want to give you the metal news, stuff that's current, stuff that's relevant. Today is Halloween. As you are listening to this, we're going to do this in 30 minutes or less. Rock has joined me today to talk about some news items here. First up, we have the Record Store Day Black Friday releases. So there's a ton of releases coming out for Record Store Day Black Friday. However, here's a few of the metal, picks, we'd say. So, Baby Metal. I was pausing for reaction on that one. I wanted to see if you're like,
ee. Oh, okay. I thought you were just going to go through the list.
Well, I was, but that
well,
one.
Just go through the list and then we'll, real quick, we'll maybe
all right.
mention a couple of others.
Baby Metal, Distortion, The Dead Kennedys have the Iguana Studio rehearsal sessions. So check this one out. Dio, Holy Diver, live at 35. Iggy and the Stooges, Rare Power. So play on Raw Power. Judas Priest, Rock-a-Rolla. Tom Morello, the Atlas Underground Instrumentals, and Type O Negative, Bloody Kisses, is 25 years old, so it's the 25th anniversary. So what are your thoughts there, Rock?
Well, okay, let me tell you this. Record Store Day, I rarely buy any of the Record Store Day releases. It's extremely rare. The last one I remember buying, I was thinking about it yesterday, and it was the Metallica, the special release they did for the when the shooting happened in France.
Oh yes, yeah,
Liberté, Égalité, Bataclan. You know, yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the only one I think official Record Store Day release I've actually bought. So looking at these, I mean, if you were to break my arm, you know. I think the only one I would buy really would probably be either Judas Priest, Rock-a-Rolla, or Baby Metal. It'd be one of those two.
See, I dig the Baby Metal stuff, and I know they've been kind of controversial around the metalheads, but like my kids enjoy it, and for me, yeah, I feel it's going to be like a gateway metal drug.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But dude, have you watched their stuff live?
Oh, dude, they rock.
The fucking musicians? Oh yeah. My god, they're amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
those guys could play in any band. So,
exactly.
Yeah, they're no slouches. Just because the material is light and kind of girly and stuff. No, don't let that fool you. The music is there, definitely there. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Next up on the news, Experience Hendrix Tour starts in March. March 2019. And particularly, I want to call this out because Zach Wilde is going to be on it again, as well as Dweezil Zappa, and I believe it was Eric Johnson, and also some members of Los Lobos. But however, when it rolls through Charleston, and I believe it's come through Charleston in March, and you actually need to check that date again, Dave Mustaine is going to be playing on this tour.
Yeah, when I saw that, yeah, I was looking at the things that you wanted to talk about today, and I saw Dave Mustaine. I'm like, huh. he's the least, the guy who to me strikes me the least as a jammer, because then, you know, to me, Hand Race would be more like, I can see them more like jamming on this stuff.
Oh yeah.
And Zach Wilde, totally. I can totally see him, you know, like jamming and riffing and doing his own thing. Dave Mustaine doesn't come across to me as a guy who really fits there.
That's just it. I'm really curious because I know he has his roots in that stuff, but you're right. He's very technical. And I mean, so I saw this tour 2 years ago in Charleston. The takeaways for me, because I mean, again, it was a who's who of guitar players. Like Johnny Lang was on there, as well as the other guitar players I already mentioned. But like the standouts were Zach Wilde, of course, because of all the other younger guitar players, we're going to say, he gets it. Like he really gets what Hendrix was about, and it came through in the playing and the songs that he chose, you know. But then the other one, and this one, oh my goodness, dude, I am so thankful that I got to see this, and I really want to see him play again. But Buddy Guy, because Buddy Guy actually knew Hendrix. He was a contemporary of Hendrix. He'd seen him play. So who better to be up there than somebody who was actually hanging out with the guy? And oh my goodness, Buddy Guy live, just wow. Wow, that was something.
Yeah, it must be amazing.
It really was. It really was. All right. Now, next up on the news. So this is something I've seen, I knew about, but it started popping up on other news feeds, so I fear we better talk about it. And I know you said you haven't had a chance to watch this, but Jack Black has been on a show called Good Mythical Morning. Have you ever watched that show?
No, I haven't.
So my buddy Chris, that I told you that I hang out with when I go to Virginia, he's a big fan of that show. So he's sending me these video clips all the time. So these two guys, Rhett and Link, basically they started like a YouTube show in their garage 10 years ago, and now that's what they do full time. So they had Jack Black on there to talk about the most metal album covers. One of them was Dio, Holy Diver.
Of course.
I think Amon Amarth was in there, but the one that I really appreciated, because it's from my era, and you know, Jack Black and you and I were all around the same age. Iron Maiden, I can't remember if it was Live After Death or Number of the Beast, but it was an Iron Maiden record cover. And he's like, oh, I've spent some time with this record, you know? So that was pretty cool. But then this video you got to check out.
Is this all comedy? Is he like just riffing on this stuff and making jokes or what?
Yeah. I guess it's entertaining. It's not necessarily all comedy, but I mean, when is Jack Black ever turned off?
No, that's true.
You know, like he's true. Always on. He's always making a joke about something, and it's Jack Black. And here's what I really like. They, you got to watch both these. I'm going to put the links to these in our show notes. So the Christmas song challenge, they basically put Christmas songs in one hat and then a style to do the Christmas song in another. So, one of the hosts did, I think it was like, Oh Holy Night, grunge style. And then, oh my goodness, what did Jack Black had to do like Away in a Manger or something like that, metal style. Like it was hysterical, dude. It was hysterical to see these guys like remake these over. So yeah, so check those out. Those are two great videos to check out. And then next up on the news here, the Armstrong Metal Festival. Now, have you ever been to this? Because it's Canadian.
Well, from what I can tell here, it's Western Canada. So we're talking about British Columbia, completely on the other side of
like
the country.
Vancouver area, BC. Okay.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The little Canadian town of Armstrong, British Columbia. The deadline is actually tomorrow, November 1st. So go to armstrongmetalfest.ca/contact/band-submissions and get yourself submitted for this metal festival if you want to get involved. It's Western Canada's longest running metal festival. So go check that out. And then, of course, here's the news of the week for me. This is what I've been waiting for. And Rock, before I get to this, I have to tell you something. Because you haven't been on Radioactive Metal Levels lately, so you haven't heard this, but I'm an enlisted man now.
Well, yeah, I have seen your post, your Instagram posts. I see that you've joined the army.
You did see that. And do you support me enlisting at my advanced age?
Yes, because this army, you can enlist at any age, and they will accept you, unlike the other army.
Because this, ladies and gentlemen, is the KISS Army. KISS has released their tour dates. The standouts for me, they're going to play Detroit Rock City on March 13th. And then Pittsburgh is going to be March 30th. And I think that's the show I'm going to try and see. My parents were in for the weekend. And I was telling Mom and Dad about it. I said, hey, they're going to be touring. I might come up to see it. And I think Mom and Dad are going to go with me.
Wow, that'd be cool.
Well, so I can't remember, did I ever tell you? In 1996, for the first reunion tour, me, my mom and dad, and my sister all went as a family.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a big family event. Because, I mean, we've been listening to KISS since I was 12 or 13. And it really was a family affair. My dad took me to my first KISS concert, 1986, April, at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena. It was the Asylum Tour. And we were the very last date on the tour. Because when KISS came through to play earlier, like in February or March, a transformer blew out while they were playing. So they had to cancel the show, but they came back and they, you know, fulfilled their commitment.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So it's always been a bit of a family band. And my dad and I saw every KISS show from 86 to 1990. So it would have been Asylum. Oh my gosh. What was the next one? Crazy Nights.
Yes.
And then
Smashes, Thrashes, and Hiss. I don't think they toured
for
that.
No, they didn't tour on that one, but then Hot in the Shade. So those three tours, Dad and I saw.
Wow. You didn't see Revenge in 90?
Well, no, that was 91 or 92.
No, Revenge was 90.
Okay, well, I did see. No.
No, no, you're right. You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah, because I graduated in 90, so it was.
I saw Hot in the Shade also in it was October 1990 in Montreal. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was my first KISS show.
See, look at that. And then, so then Revenge was the first show I saw without my dad.
Okay, that was 92, now that I think about it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
All right, so they have 43 dates in North America, so get out to kissonline.com. But then just today, I just saw that they announced an Australia and New Zealand tour. They have 8 new shows, and those are starting in November of 2019. So as of right now, they start January 31st next year, run all the way through July. Hang on, I'm scrolling down here. July 16th to Glasgow, Scotland. They're going to take a couple months off, kick back up in November in Australia and New Zealand. And, I mean, that's leg one. So how many years do you think this is going to go? You think it's going to go 2 years, 4 years?
Well, so North America, how many dates did they announce? You said about 40-something?
43 or 44.
Okay, so you know that's all the major markets probably that they're hitting right now. And if they're doing like they did for the reunion tour, they hit all the major markets first, then they went to Europe and elsewhere, then they came back for a second leg and they hit the secondary markets. So I'm thinking this is going to be a 2-year tour.
See, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping 2 years or longer because I want them to play everywhere. Because if I can go see them in Pittsburgh, right, and fulfill seeing that final show, if they actually come and play Charleston, I will take my entire family. I'll take both kids to see it.
Okay.
Because my wife, not really a KISS fan, so we're not going to worry for the first one. But my kids both enjoy KISS thanks to the Scooby-Doo KISS collaboration that came out a couple years ago.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
Well, yeah, like I figured there's no way I'm going to lose because I'm getting something with KISS in it. And if the kids like it, this is a win-win. And they do. Yeah. Like, you know, my wife had to actually like find KISS songs to play on her phone for the kids. So I would love to take them to a KISS show, but I would like it to be here. So, you know, if it's too loud or they just don't like it, then I don't mind leaving, especially as I want to at least see it once first, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't blame you.
And try to give them that experience. So
I think in Florida, they're coming to Jacksonville
and Tampa.
Tampa right now. So I wouldn't be surprised on that second leg if they hit Orlando at that point in Miami. I'm surprised they was Miami listed on the... On the itinerary right now?
It was not.
I'm surprised that's not on there.
Well, that's what makes me think it's going to go 4 years. I think they're being strategic so they can hit a lot of markets and get a lot of the same people multiple times.
Yep.
You know, so if they come to Orlando, are you going to go?
It's really going to depend. The last time I saw them was about, well, 5 years ago. And they came because they were playing, I think it was the All-Star game or either the finals of the Arena Football League for that year. And the day before the concert, they announced the LA Kiss was coming in Arena Football. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's right.
They announced it. They announced it here in Orlando the day before the concert. And then I saw them play and I bought the ticket like the day before the show. And it wasn't very well attended. So, you know, but yeah, it was amazing. It was really good. So I saw them about 5 years ago.
Nice. Okay. The last time I saw them was in the 90s.
And they're the band I've seen the most. I've seen them 7 times.
Me too. I saw them from 86 through 98. I think I saw every single time they came through Pittsburgh. And then even times they didn't.
Yeah. 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 Well, I was thinking about it today. I saw them in 1990. Then I saw them in 95 when they did the convention tour, where they were playing acoustic and had a little museum with them. It was a 12-hour day with the band.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember you talking about that.
I got to meet them and get autographs and stuff. Then I saw them twice on the reunion tour, 2 nights in a row. And then Psycho Circus, of course. And then I saw them on that first farewell tour. That was a couple years after Psycho Circus. And then the next time I saw them was 5 years ago. So, yeah, so 7 times.
Yeah, I didn't buy that first farewell tour, but I buy this one. All right. Mm-hmm. So now the topic here. So we're at about the halfway point. We've got about 14 minutes or so, and we're going to get into our topic of the day. Being that today is Halloween, Rock, tell me, what is your ultimate Halloween concert? Or do you want me to go first? Because you mentioned that.
I would like you to start first because you already told me what yours is going to be, and I kind of built on yours.
Oh, good. I love a surprise. All right. So here's mine.
So yours would be on Halloween, right?
Oh, yeah. Mine is on Halloween, right? My ultimate concert is going to be on Halloween. I want Gwar, Kiss, and Alice Cooper. I haven't figured out the order. I kind of toy with, is Kiss going to go on last? Is Alice Cooper going to go on last? And I want a storyline show, right? Like I almost want like Kiss to come out and start or something with Gene Simmons. And then boom, Gwar appears. And Gwar shows have a storyline in them anyway. But this time I want a huge arcing storyline where the Gwar show carries into the Alice Cooper show because they could be minions of Alice Cooper. And then, Alice Cooper's got so much great horror stuff. I would like him to maybe be the villain that creates Gwar. And then, Kiss, of course, have to be the heroes in my story. It's like, Godzilla always wins in Japan, King Kong wins in the U.S. kind of thing. so Kiss has to be the heroes here. And then I want everybody, all of those bands performing Rock and Roll All Night as the closer. That's my ultimate Halloween concert.
So that's like a $150 ticket.
Easy. And I'd pay it.
See, now thinking about this, after you sent me that text and you were explaining me all this, I was like, okay, he's going for a theme here. And so I started thinking, there's so many bands that could be playing this type of concert, right? Like Cradle of Filth, because they're very theatric. They'd be perfect for Halloween. Dimmu Borgir. You've got so many bands, the Misfits,
that'd be another great one.
So then I started thinking, okay, you've got the $150 show. I'm thinking, let's go underground a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So my show would be the night before Halloween.
Okay.
Okay. It would be like at 1,000-seater venue, so about 1,000 people would get in. So you'd walk in, you see the stage in front of you, and then you see it's all decorated with spooky stuff, but there's coffins everywhere. Okay. And you're okay, all right. It's like, oh, cool look. But you're like, if you're not really paying attention, but you just say, oh, it's cool. But if you're paying attention, it's like, why is there so many coffins? Yeah. So first band that comes on, because they're super fun and they're a great death thrash band, I would have Ghoul come out. Now, Ghoul, who don't know, they wear the executioner's masks. And basically their songs are kind of comedy, driven. They talk about killing people and all sorts of stuff like that. Okay. So they come on, they play a short set, maybe 25 minutes, okay? At the end of their set, as they're getting done, you know, they're hitting the last notes, then you have the guys from General Surgery come out.
Oh!
General Surgery, they come out usually dressed in those white lab coats.
Yeah, okay? The scrubs.
But they're always covered in blood, okay?
Nice.
But this time they come out and they're immaculate. Their clothes are going to be immaculate. Then they come and they slay Ghoul. Okay, and then the blood splatters all over their stuff like it normally does. Okay, yeah. They take the guys in Ghoul, they throw them in coffins. Okay, the guys in Ghoul stay there for the whole set. Okay, another short set, maybe 35 minutes, you know, 25 to 30 minutes, okay. 35 minutes. General Surgery plays their set, and then as they get done, well, Exhumed comes out.
Oh, dude.
They come out to play, and their mascot, they have a mascot also who's also dressed like a surgeon, comes out with a chainsaw all the time with them. He slays all the General Surgery guys. Okay? Throws them in some more coffins. Okay? And now you've got Exhumed, you know, it's like, wow, Matt Harvey, our good friend Matt Harvey, you know, he's a good friend of Radioactive Metal. So he comes out and puts on a killer show. And then as they get done, well, all the corpses in the coffins start coming to life,
dude.
And they're all zombies. Now, who comes out? Cannibal Corpse.
Oh.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh, uh-huh. Yes.
So then Cannibal Corpse also plays maybe 45 minutes. You know, not too long, but everybody, all the corpses, you know, they're all, you know, messing around and pretending to eat flesh or whatever. You know, they're doing all this cool stuff. And then at the end, you know, when they get ready to finish their show, they jump into a cover of King Diamond's song Halloween.
Oh, dude.
Okay?
Yeah.
King Diamond himself comes out and plays the song with them. Right? And then at the end, he takes all the zombies with him and they leave, and the show ends like that. Okay? That's night one. That's night one.
Okay.
Okay? Then your show the very next day at the big arena or outdoor venue, okay? As they dim the lights and you always have the hum over there, they always play something.
Yeah.
All the corpses come out with King Diamond.
Oh, yes.
And then let's say Guar is your first band. Well, Guar also likes to murder people. They come out and they murder everybody with the help of King Diamond.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it goes into your show and whatever you have planned for your show.
Dude. Dude, I love that because that's, I mean, essentially you wrote a really elaborate Guar show. Like,
yeah, super long.
I love it. Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? We need to pitch this to somebody because this needs to happen.
Oh, like, gosh.
Yours is much more plausible than mine. Yours could happen. Yours could absolutely happen.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. Mine, not so much. Mine's not quite as plausible. Oh, we almost forgot what you wanted to talk about tonight. Done with your concert.
Yes, yes, I am. Real quick, I just wanted to mention this past weekend, WWE had their all women's pay-per-view, the first one ever they've ever done, called Evolution. And, you know, I sat down to watch it, and the show starts, and then they go into – they always have an intro video and all that. And then live guitar starts, like some really wicked stuff. And then they showed Nita Strauss in the ring playing her guitar and like just shredding. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. And it made sense because she's done a few things already with WWE, like at WrestleMania and stuff. She's played some music there. So I was like, oh wow, this is awesome, you know? And then she's playing and then there's a drummer that starts playing with her. And then you hear some vocals and it's friggin' Lizzie Hale.
Dude.
So Lizzie Hale and Nita Strauss playing a song together, and the song is called Evolution. I don't know if it's a cover of something or if it's one of Lizzie Hale's song, or I don't know if it's, they wrote it for the show. I have no idea. You know, I'm not very familiar with their material, but it made me wonder, is this the first time that those two play together? You know, so, but yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. You know, it's like the metal was very well represented at WWE this weekend. So
that video you shared was amazing. Like, those are two of the best guitar players I think I've seen together in a long time. Like, I just like flabbergasted, floored with that performance.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was great. Nita Strauss is coming here. She's on tour right now. It's a long tour. She's on tour right now for her, solo album, the instrumental album that she's putting out, and she's going to be coming to Orlando, I think, in December. So, wow. I'm going to try and see that.
Dude, that'd be great if you see that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, metalheads. Well, this wraps up episode 2 of the Metal Lunch Break. Remember, listen live tomorrow night, Thursday, November 1st, to hear us live at purerockradio.net. That will be at 8 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Eastern time, purerockradio.net. You can hear the show first. If you miss it live, don't worry. It releases every Friday morning, so check it out. It's going to be episode 528 called Significant Betters, where we actually talk to the girlfriend of some touring rock guitarists and kind of get their perspective on the road. As well as, since it is Halloween, Snowy sits down to, with a very special Halloween interview. He interviews Michael Myers. So stay tuned for that, as well as we talk about some crazy stuff like the Marilyn Manson dildo that was released. So that's some wild stuff right there.
Okay.
And that's everything. Remember, True Cult Coffee, TRVEKVLT coffee.com. Support our sponsors. Tune in to purerockradio.net to hear this show first. And we'll see you next week for the Metal Lunch Break. This is Aaron.
This is Rock.
We're out.